Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well here on this Tuesday. Man, it's another hot one. And it's going to be that way. Well, it's going to be that way for a while. But, I mean, we had some rain. We've had a good bit of rain this summer. Not much in the foreseeable future. So, yeah, be careful if you have to be out and about. Stay hydrated. And be aware now that it's time that, you know, plants and pets are going to be needing to be hydrated as well. But welcome in, everybody. The Tuesday Drive, Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls, a regular crew here on this Tuesday. We will have half of our regular guests on. If you were with us on Friday, we had Jake Crane following Media Days on with us Friday. And he was on the tarmac. He was getting ready to take off, literally, for, he said, the resumption of his honeymoon in France. So I don't think we'll effort Jake overseas.
We got
today.
Some good stuff from Jake as they were preparing for liftoff, though.
That is right.
So I guess we could run Jake in his normal time if you missed Friday afternoon. I mean, we could.
Well,
see
we actually could. Although,
see how we're feeling depending on the second hour of the show. But yeah, we're going to talk. I think we're going to talk with Barrett Salee from CBS Sports.
I have not. He usually lets me know if he has something else, if something comes up.
Barrett was nice enough to kick off our coverage on Monday. Remember, he was he popped in right when we got started on Monday and got some good stuff from Barrett, who's in demand. And that's a significant Media Days, too, because SEC on CBS, the commissioner noted it in his opening remarks, this is the final year of the SEC's agreement with the CBS network. Everything's moving over to ESPN after this season. Barrett, one of the best over at CBS, right? So it was I'm going to want to know from him what Media Days was like, knowing, you know, that the days of CBS having so much influence over
SEC,
the conference,
right,
are coming to an end.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that with him. If you've got anything you'd like Barrett, to talk about, we'll take some suggestions there. Barrett, usually we don't have any trouble going 15 minutes or so with Barrett, though. We've known him for a long time. We'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, sports wise? Couple of news items they're not local, but man, they're pretty big. Bronny James yesterday becoming the second Southern USC player in 2 years to have cardiac arrest during preseason workout in basketball.
Yes, a scary moment with Bronny James yesterday. Cardiac arrest, apparently collapsing during USC's practice. In stable condition, but was in ICU for part of the day yesterday. So we had a situation a couple of years ago in the SEC with Keontae Johnson, the player from the University of Florida. That was mid-game, but there have been some really terrifying collapses or incidents involving players collapsing in college basketball. And of course, I guess Hank Gathers would be the most famous one of all of those back in the late 80s, early 90s. I think it was 90 when Hank Gathers, playing for LMU, he collapsed and passed away on a basketball court during the conference tournament. But yeah, it sounds like the fast response and having the right medical team at practice probably saved Bronny James's life. And this is a player who, I mean, it's a highly anticipated basketball season for USC, in large part because Bronny, the son of LeBron, is going to play his first year, or is slated to play.
Scheduled to, yeah.
He is slated to play his first year of college basketball with USC. We thought, and we're sort of waiting on confirmation in the next couple of weeks when we get more about Auburn's basketball schedule, but we believe USC will come to Auburn and play a road game this year. That was a home and home that was previously announced. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge story, and Bronny James coming in with as much celebrity as any recent college basketball player is a big part of it. But it's scary when any college basketball player goes through what Bronny James apparently went through over the last 48 hours.
Yeah. So thoughts and prayers, obviously, with LeBron and family and Bronny there. So that is a sad story, but I mean, it's better. I mean, at least they were able, you know, goodness, it could have been worse.
It sounds like the trainers and the medical right. staff and having, you know, the right people there, you know, maybe if it was
unfortunately, yeah. they'd had an experience with it a year before.
Right. I mean, if it was something where, you know, maybe if it wasn't as well-trained a staff or as well-funded a program, you know, maybe they wouldn't have had as many resources available, but it was, yeah, it sounds like a lot of credit goes to the people who sprung into action and saved Bronny James's life.
And then today, now, it has not happened yet, but reports that Jim Harbaugh of Michigan is expected to be suspended the first four games of the season for recruiting violations and for not being forthright with the NCAA when first asked about those violations, which occurred during the COVID period.
Well, and it's a reminder that as skeptical as some folks might be, the NCAA still will take action to discipline even coaches the stature of Jim Harbaugh or places with the tradition of Michigan, which, you know, makes me wonder, Bill, what the next few years could be like, right? If the NCAA is willing to, and I guess Tennessee is also an example of this, although a lot of the work had already been done for the NCAA at Tennessee with the punishment that they just doled out to the Vols. But I mean, this is an organization that's going to have to make some interesting calls in the future about what they're enforcing and how seriously they want to pursue it. I think especially with regards to NIL and the future of the players being compensated by organizations that are affiliated mm-hmm. with schools and fall in line with, you know, with some of the things that may make them boosters. But in the meantime, Jim Harbaugh is suspended four games because the NCAA is, for now,
expected to be suspended four games. Now, I think that is what Michigan has proposed to the NCAA. I've already heard some national blast back at this because of who those first four games are against. Feeling like Michigan is going, oh, yes, we'll fall on the sword. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers are the four games before Michigan jumps into the rest. They play three non-conference games, then nine conference games, and Rutgers is the opening conference game. But, I mean, nationally, there's already some criticism pointing out other similar cases where coaches have either been fired, suspended for entire seasons, given show causes, and it looks like this could be something that Michigan, I would think, could handle this rather easily.
I think some of that has to do with the fact that Jim Harbaugh is still largely popular at Michigan, right? Like, we've seen instances where schools would use this to get rid of a coach, but that coach wasn't winning as much as Jim Harbaugh had won of late, and maybe he wasn't as popular with the organization or with the school as Jim Harbaugh was of late. Now, there are other examples too, but we've seen, that's the, you know, the cherry on top. That's exactly.
Well, Tennessee was looking. Tennessee was looking for things, and boy, they found them.
Right.
And the NCAA found more.
Right. And if Jeremy Pruitt had the last couple of seasons that Jim Harbaugh has had at Michigan,
beating Ohio State for a couple of years, yeah,
playoff team, yeah, I think then maybe things would have been different at Tennessee. But no, this is I'm interested to see how this gets resolved, because, like you said, there's still some uncertainty as to whether or not the NCAA will accept it. And that's going to be what ends up happening. Does sound like quite a strategic schedule for a coach who may face. Although, you know, Michigan, those are four games, right, where this happens to be a year where Michigan's not really playing a high-profile.
Power 5 non-conference game.
I wonder, you know, I miss the Michigan-Notre Dame game. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that was a really cool game to have on both schedules. I guess that's one where money gets in the way or whatever happens. But that was I thought that was a game that we should be playing every year. And without it, yeah, boy does Michigan's out-of-conference schedule look like they can navigate it.
You know what's odd is this – the apparently the violations themselves weren't major violations. The biggest problem was Harbaugh not being honest with the NCAA. But then I read that three other coaches are involved, two current Michigan coaches, their offensive coordinator Sharon Moore and tight ends coach Grant Newsom. Now, reports say they're not expected to be penalized as heavily as Jim Harbaugh, but then their former defensive coordinator Mike McDonald, who's now with Jim's brother John and the Baltimore Ravens, is expected to be handed a one-year show cause before he could return to college. So I don't understand if the worst violation is Jim Harbaugh not being forthright with the NCAA. Why you're slapping a show cause on the defensive coordinator for what were supposedly level two violations?
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't know enough about what the assistants did wrong and whether or not were they not truthful with the NCAA either.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that what ended up happening to get them suspended as well? But no, it does seem like. I mean, so do you think this is a situation where Jim Harbaugh is getting off too easy?
I do.
For what he did? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I mean, if you're going to slap a show cause of a year on somebody who's no longer in college football, some of it makes it sound like, oh, this is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not really. And if you're going to do lesser things, I doubt that they're going to make the offensive coordinator and tight ends coach not be able to coach. It comes across as pretty much of a slap on the wrist.
Do you think Harbaugh should miss a year? Like, is that where you're on?
I don't know if he should miss a year, but I mean,
I'm wondering where you escalate from a four-game suspension for a head coach.
Lying to the NCAA?
No, but what I mean is, do you think it should be more games?
Yeah, I do.
And then that gets into almost a season, right? I mean, if you get into
a half a season or something.
Okay.
Or let the NCAA. I heard one national guy say,
or do you think it should be conference games?
Why not suspend them for the last four?
Yeah. Well, that's
last four of the regular season. That'd be pretty tough.
Just deciding, well, those games, these first.
We'll pick the four games.
Yeah, these games aren't good enough. Well, I do wonder if you could say, if the conference could step in and say conference games. I don't know if that would be appropriate.
That would be tough.
Or significant.
I mean, if you just
said
the first four conference games.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I just feel like this is the NCAA.
You're thinking that you could coach Michigan
and
win these
four. I'm thinking I could be the figurehead coach, yeah, and we'd go 4-0 there in the first four games.
Right. So it's because – and if maybe – would you feel differently if Michigan had a game that seemed more competitive
on
the schedule in that first four?
Yes,
if
I
they,
would.
If they opened
– I would wonder if Michigan would then be fighting against a suspension.
Right, if they opened with Notre Dame or something like that, getting back to that rivalry I was opining about earlier, like if they had that game on the schedule, you would think, okay, well, this is a little bit more challenging. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so he can, according to the NCAA, a suspended coach such as Harbaugh can coach practice during the week, but he just can't be in the stadium on game day.
You think he's going back to the NFL? Like, I mean, that feels like every, it feels like every year, right? Like he's the one that pops up. Like, of the current coaches in college football, the ones that you could see jumping to the NFL the soonest, right? Like, he's on that list. Kiffin, maybe. I mean, we always think Lane Kiffin, right? Would be another guy that the NFL could come calling for. Lincoln Riley is somebody that I wonder, you know, after Caleb Williams, if he could go. But yeah, Harbaugh's one, and even mentioned that his brother is still an NFL coach. Harbaugh's one to me where he's on that tier.
I think a couple of years ago it felt like a sure thing.
Right. And maybe a national championship away, you know, if they can get it done at Michigan, or if he can keep winning at Michigan, maybe there's a move someday involving Jim Harbaugh back to the league.
So those are a couple of the news stories of the day. Again, we'll have Barrett Salee joining us here in about 15 minutes. We'd love for you to join in, though. I mean, pretty much the rest of the day, we're wide open. And you can join us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, our hour number one sponsor, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, rate, review, subscribe. If you search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, find the show that way. Or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll get to our first break of the day. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Facebook.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, know that tomorrow, and I was thinking about this a little earlier, know that DeMarcus Riddick is making his announcement tomorrow, the linebacker from Clanton, who has been committed to Georgia for quite a while. We were talking about it with Brian Matthews yesterday. I read
That's a confusing one, right? Because he's a Georgia commitment making an announcement tomorrow.
That's right. And he's from
Clanton.
Chilton County. Yeah. Clanton, right.
Clanton, Alabama. Chilton County High School.
And expected to choose to announce this time between Auburn and Alabama.
Right.
And most prognosticators had him pegged to go to Alabama until the last few days.
Well, and he had, I mean, I think back to, and I referenced this conversation when it happened on the air, but we talked to Christian Clemente on the Observer podcast. And Christian mentioned that Riddick had told either Christian or someone else on the beat, right? Like he'd mentioned it to someone else too, that he was planning on attending Big Cat.
Right.
And it's like, well, you've got your Georgia commitment with an announcement soon, and you're telling people you're going to be at Big Cat. Now, maybe he picks Alabama tomorrow when he's not at Big Cat weekend. Like, that's entirely possible, right? But ever since he's, you know, it was thrown out there that he's telling people he's going to Big Cat weekend, the timing made me think this is someone, and I've never spoken to him, but this is someone who might be choosing Auburn tomorrow, and he might get a very warm reception at Big Cat weekend if he's Auburn's newest commitment.
Oh,
when he shows up this weekend, if that's what happens. So I mean, I'd say that's on the table as something that could very well happen, is that he could commit to Auburn tomorrow and it could be a Big Cat weekend and they could be very excited to see him at Big Cat weekend.
I wonder how much traffic there is there in Clanton today, since last night, as Brian mentioned, the dead period ended last night.
Oh, you think some coaches from both directions are making
it?
Yeah, a couple of directions.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, because this is a player that Georgia and Alabama and Auburn really, really want.
I think Ferguson said, talking to him yesterday, that this would be the – if his recruiting position did not change, if he stayed where he was rated right now, consensus, and he signs with Auburn – he would be Auburn's highest-rated signee out of high school since Owen Pepo.
Wow.
Which is – now, a lot can change between now and then. Another linebacker
– Auburn's recruiting a couple of other guys who might top that.
That's exactly right. And this is also – and he might not be finished as far as where he's rated.
No, that's true.
Compared to where it is, because
– but he's not a done deal yet. But here's what I was thinking, because I read today that he's expected to make this announcement – tomorrow afternoon, and I believe it's at 4:00. So it would be interesting for us to see if there's.
We'll see what we can do. Yeah, there could be a local. Could be a local news feed.
The other thing is, what do we usually have Wednesday at 4:00?
It might be tougher to talk to Jason Caldwell. Yeah. Or we might get him on a drive home if he's there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to check and see if Jason. That is also sometimes a bit of a tell for fans who is going to cover. Because a lot of the times, the players will encourage certain reporters to come be there at their announcement.
I will see.
And they don't usually want to, you know, get someone to come be there if they're not, you know, going to be covering.
We'll do some research. We'll get with the research department here at Auburn Network and see if anyone's covering it live,
mm-hmm.
that we could maybe, you know, tap into a feed. If not, Or even if so, right, it'd be cool to maybe talk to someone who was there on site.
Absolutely.
Whether that's Jason or whether that's someone else, depending
it'd
on his availability. It'd
also be cool to, if it's being carried live, to maybe be able to listen in.
That's what I mean. So we'll see if anyone's if anyone's got
it's been
live.
A while since we've done that, but those can be fun. Well,
and I think that my guess would be is that one of the fine Montgomery TV networks.
Oh, I would think somebody's going to be there.
Would be there live on site.
I would think it's in between Montgomery and Birmingham. You'll probably have somebody coming from both directions.
You know who does a great job? Unsolicited plug. Saw him a lot at Media Days. Jamal and Rosie. That's WSFA.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're the local folks there, and they do an outstanding job. They were all over Media Days this week. Covering it for Alabama and Auburn people, and they do they do a great job. I think Rosie has been on the Doug Show before. I believe she's been a guest.
Yeah, I believe so.
On the Max Roundtable, and Rosie and Jamal both are just top-tier journalists. Lucky to have them here in the area. And I would think, for some reason, Montgomery and Birmingham, I'm thinking that might be somewhere that I could be, I might ask during or after the show about that. But, tomorrow, Riddick is...
Yeah, remember, it's his mother's birthday. That's
mother's
why he
birthday,
wanted to
yeah.
do it tomorrow.
Could be a very...
Who else's birthday is it tomorrow?
Could be a
present.
Yeah. No, you know what? Quite a few celebrities have birthday tomorrow. You got Sandra Bullock. It's her birthday. It is, let me think about Mick Jagger has a birthday tomorrow. You've got Kate Beckinsale, the popular actress. You got quite a few celebrities with noteworthy birthdays tomorrow.
Yeah, Mick will be 80, right?
I believe Mick Jagger will be 80 tomorrow. Tomorrow's Mick Jagger's 80th birthday.
Octogenarian, that's crazy.
Still going, right?
Yeah, still rocking.
Still doing around. Start me up and running 7 miles a night on stage.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why he weighs, 100 pounds. I mean, he's always been a wiry guy.
A marvel.
All right, so we will effort that and see what we can do about tomorrow, but just wanted to put that out there that I would say it's not likely that we'll have Jason right at the beginning of the show. If we do, that might be a tell as well. So, all right, 334-321-1390. What else is going on that we can get into?
Coming up on the trade deadline, we're seeing a little bit of movement.
Week from today.
I think the Braves are going to buy. I have a feeling there's somebody. We'll see. I mean, there's rumors about.
They're just very good about keeping it quiet, and then bam, they do something.
There's talk about Duvall. I could see them making a bigger splash.
Yeah,
than that.
Me too.
I wonder if somebody maybe could they add someone who becomes one of the top three pitchers in the rotation?
That's where
I wonder if they would look. Whether that's, I mean, people were wondering about Giolito.
I mean, they've added a couple of pieces to the mid to late part of the bullpen this week.
You think Mitch Keller's getting dealt?
No, I don't.
Because that would be...
I think the Pirates would have to get a ton to give up Keller or Bednar.
But they're talking like they might give
them
both up, right?
Well, they want to listen.
Rumors. Okay.
I think they're pretty much saying, we'll listen just to see what offers they get. If they get overwhelmed, they may take it.
Does Mitch Keller make another National League team believe that they're reasonably close to a World
Series?
Is that a guy that another team could add thinking we're serious about making a push this year?
He's probably, I don't know, because after the first month of the season,
he's cooled off.
He's been a little more like the Mitch Keller of the last few years. I mean, some flashes and then lacking the consistency. He's got great stuff. But, yeah, you wouldn't want to bring him in as your one or two, maybe a three or a four for a top contender.
Which is still important in a best of seven. I mean, you could need someone like that that's a guy who could end up starting an elimination game for you or a game where you could eliminate the
Braves,
other team.
I'd rather have David Bednar than Mitch Keller.
I think the Braves are going to add a bigger name to the bullpen too. I mean, I wonder if
Rysel has been okay. He hasn't been great.
Padres not making moves on.
They may.
I mean, Hader and Snell.
Snell would be a couple of huge.
Hader and Snell would be
for somebody.
We can do this. We can do this on the other side with Barrett too, because there's some big baseball rumors in the wind right now.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us. That's right. Barrett Salee joins us on the other side here on the Tuesday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and let's head to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Welcome in our good friend, and that is, of course, Barrett Salee from CBSSports.com and SiriusXM. Barrett, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Doing fine. I mean, we're you know, Dan has recovered from media days.
Mostly.
I mean, and we're getting. I mean, we've got football practice starting next week. Auburn's got Big Cat coming up this weekend. The baseball trade deadline's in a week. There are a lot of things going on.
There are. I mean, there's. I was just talking with about some coworkers about this today. I mean, it feels just today like a regular season football week. I mean, a regular season Tuesday because I mean, news all over the place. Whether it be, you know, the Northwestern players skipping media days, Jim Harbaugh getting suspended, Notre Dame opening camp tomorrow without a strength and conditioning coach. It's pretty wild out there.
We were talking a little bit about the Harbaugh suspension, which is expected to come up. What are your thoughts on this?
It goes back to the old adage, the cover-up's worse than the crime, right? He was accused of one level one violation and misled investigators. You should know not to do that because if they prove that you're lying, you're going to get in some serious trouble. And that's just what happens. I mean, he should know better. He's going to get punished for it. I've seen some people equate that to Urban Meyer's 3-game suspension. Those are totally different buckets. Mm-hmm. Like those are totally different conversations. Harbaugh should know better, and the NCAA, they don't like any. The worst thing you could do is lie to the NCAA because they can't compel you to tell the truth, but they can catch you in a lie. And I mean, it's not going to matter because first 4 games from Michigan are cake. But
absolutely,
it sucks for him.
Is it damaging for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan? Because I know that's a school that doesn't have, you know, quite the stomach for scandal as maybe some other places. We've seen coaches let go amid, somewhat, I think about, I guess, Amaker would be one where there was, I know that was a while ago, but, there have been instances where, Michigan, responds, pretty harshly to that. And I think Jim Harbaugh always had that reputation and that the perception that things are being done the right way at Michigan. Does a 4-game suspension complicate things at all?
No, I don't think so. He's their guy. He's a Michigan man. He's obviously, winning cures all ills, right?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, that might have been a little different, huh?
Yeah, you go to 2 straight college football playoffs and beat Ohio State 2 straight years. You can get away with a lot at Michigan. So, I think if it does anything, it sort of decrease like the margin of error for having stuff like this happen in the future. It's not as high, but he could steal a car and drive it onto the field and do donuts tearing up the turf, and they would be like, "Yeah, all right, have some fun, dude."
Yeah, we needed to resod anyway. That's right.
Yeah, right. We need new grass anyway. But I don't think it does anything. But if he does it again, like if he lied to the NCAA about something like a level one violation again, then, I think Michigan's going to look at him and be like, dude, what are you doing?
Stop doing that.
This is not hard.
Fool me twice. No, okay, so yeah. So Barrett, it was great seeing you at Media Days last week. I like to think that we're above the let's talk about the, Vanderbilt got X number of votes or Ole Miss got, I don't care about that. But let me ask you, there appears to be a consensus top two in each division. Georgia 1, mm-hmm. Tennessee 2 in the East, LSU 1, Bama 2, or vice versa.
Yeah, according to the
West,
voters.
Yeah, Bama 1, LSU 2, according to the voters. Is there another team in the SEC outside of those four that you find yourself more bullish on than the field compared to everybody else going into this season? Is there someone you really like?
Yeah, I mean, I think South Carolina is going to be pretty darn good. And we talked to, we had everybody come into our room for 10 minutes. We didn't go to the big room, but we had, 10 minutes of every coach and every player. And the South Carolina folks, we couldn't get them to directly say it, but it was clear that play calling was taken completely out of Marcus Satterfield's hands after the Florida game last year. And as a result, Spencer Rattler threw for 6 touchdowns the next week against Tennessee, beat Clemson, and then obviously had a ton of success, even in a loss in the bowl game. To me, South Carolina now knows what to do, but more importantly, what not to do now that offensive coordinator Dole Loggins is in-house. So if things start to go sideways, they can straighten things out by making the formations less complicated. They understand why Rattler and Juice Wells were successful during the final 3-4 games of the season. So if that's going to be the case, if you're going to have a South Carolina offense like that, or at least somewhat close to that, they're going to win some games. So to me, I think South Carolina is getting slept on a little bit. I think that if you're looking for one of those dark horse teams that can win you 8-9 games, it's probably the Gamecocks.
All right. Now, obviously, I wasn't up there, but, I mean, I've been to a ton of these things. And over the last dozen or so, it's been very rare that I've gone in with strong feelings about certain teams and had something change my mind. Did anything like that happen? Was there a team that you had one feeling about that now you think, well, maybe I'll rethink that? About anybody?
I mean, maybe Arkansas, just because hearing them talk about last year's defense as opposed to this one was pretty interesting to me. I mean, it takes a lot of work to lead the SEC in sacks, but also finish last in the nation in passing defense. that's almost impossible. But that's what Arkansas did. And to hear them talk about Travis Williams, and you guys know him obviously very well, but to hear them talk about not only the aggressiveness of Travis Williams, but also how he relates to the players and how the players have responded to his personality is interesting. And I mean, you guys know how players gravitate towards Travis. It's the same thing at UCF. It's kind of his reputation. So to hear them talk about that, it's like one of those things, okay, well, maybe Arkansas's defense can be average. And if that's the case, then Arkansas is going to be difficult to deal with. So I think maybe it was Arkansas specifically talking, because we know what their offense is. Like, we know what they're going to do offensively. So maybe a little bit more bullish on the Hogs right now than I was before, knowing that, it seems like things have changed quite a bit within the walls of that complex since Travis Williams took over.
South Carolina and Arkansas, two teams that were at the bottom of the conference a couple of years ago that have seemingly made the right move as far as finding a coach that fits the culture and the identity and can actually build something, and here they are. I don't think it's crazy at all to have both of them as potentially third in their division, or maybe even better. Where are you on Ole Miss, Barrett?
To me, it's what happens with with their defense specifically, how they get after quarterbacks, because they kind of got tired. I felt like they got tired anyway in the front seven last year during the month of November, and that really cost them some games. How does that offense help them out? Because Lane's going to go fast, but I don't think teams are going to go as fast as they have in the past because of the new rules. So does that help, and does that allow the defense to get in the backfield and make plays, especially in the second half, in critical situations? So if the answer is yes, then they're probably that team outside of Bama and LSU that can contend for the division title. But it's going to take a lot for me to really buy in on that. I think to me, it's more likely that Ole Miss is going to be in that same sort of group as Arkansas and maybe put Auburn in there as well. But I do love Judkins. I do love, obviously, I think Jackson Dart's already won that job. I think he's fine. But you're going to have to get a significant upgrade in their front seven play.
I wondered, really, as it was going on last year, you know, and then looking back at it, yes, I believe they got gassed down the stretch, but I also think all the Lane's leaving stuff, and no, he's not, and yes, he is, and we're going to keep him, that had to play into how they played, too, and into their heads last year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I don't know. I mean, players will always say they don't hear that stuff. They always say, we're focused on us, and that's not true. You know, you guys have been around Auburn, and I've been around Auburn, been around other schools. They know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So if they consistently see their head coach mentioned in, you know, coaching rumors, especially one that's open in your division, you're going to pay attention. So, yeah, I think it distracted them a little bit. And, look, in games, no, but in preparation, yeah. And that can lead to confusion, which if you watch Ole Miss, on both sides of the ball, they were pretty confused late last season. So
I
definitely buy into that theory.
All right, we're a week away, I guess next week when we have you on, we'll have just passed the deadline, the trading deadline. Are the Braves making any – I mean, I know they've made a couple of moves, but are they going to make a significant move? It's hard for me to believe that they won't.
Ohtani, go get him.
I don't think that's significant.
Ohtani for Sam Hilliard. Think they would do that straight up? Although I love Sam Hilliard. No, I don't think they will. The only move that really needs to be addressed, the only place it needs to be addressed is the relief pitchers. I mean, as long as Freed comes back and Kyle Wright comes back and they're healthy, you'll move some of those players to the pen. And I think relief pitchers, maybe one of note, you know, we've made a couple of moves, yesterday for relief pitchers.
Right.
Maybe one that's, you know, somewhat recognizable, but I don't think they're going to do anything else.
Well, usually Alex seems to pull something that nobody's expecting, because if they do it, there's
true.
Usually not a lot of talk about it beforehand.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if some of the gambles have paid off as far as, you know, they're in wait-and-see mode about the corner outfield and even Arcia, right? And it's worked out to the point where they don't need to make a trade there. They could have, you know, if things hadn't gone as well. You know, I floated the idea out there that maybe they'd want to add to the rotation. You know, somebody they'd feel comfortable starting a playoff game, because you mentioned, you know, some of those, you know, in case this happens or that happens. You know, I do wonder if somebody's selling a starting pitcher that the Braves would want, but remains to be seen.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, if someone's selling a starting pitcher, then everybody else is going to want that starting pitcher. The Braves are going to be like, okay, we'll offer you this, but somebody else will offer much more than the Braves for a halfway decent starting pitcher.
Yeah, you're probably right. And let me correct myself. Actually, the way it's been the last few years, it's been 4 o'clock Eastern time, the deadline. It's 6 Eastern this time next Tuesday. So we will be approaching. Okay. We're going to have a tough time next week, because we'll be watching for moves that are
being made. We'll be keeping everybody
top
of the trade deadline next week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Well, Double A's a ninja, so we know if he has something up his sleeve, it might be late in the ballgame.
All right, Barrett, what all you got going? Tell everybody about what you have and how they can access it.
Well, we've got Chip Patterson up in Charlotte for ACC Media Days. We've got Dennis Dodd and Tom Fornelli going to Big Ten. So we have all that covered, as well as whatever else pops, and Lord knows there's a lot popping today in the world of college football.
Great stuff, Barrett, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Barrett Salee joining us.
Just a couple of weeks away, right? We'll have games to preview, games to recap.
Practice will be going on.
I mean, yeah, Vanderbilt, Hawaii is, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks from Saturday?
Four weeks from Saturday.
Right. I think today's,
because,
today's 40.
It's not, right? August yet, Bill. No.
Today is
next
today
week.
Today is 40 days from the Auburn opener. By the way, you can hear that one. I believe that is that
it's 39. Correct?
39? Yeah. Well, I guess depending on if you count today as.
Well, after today. Like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's 4 plus 35.
Right, but I was counting today as one of the, right?
So well, today's about over, man.
Okay, all right. So 40 or fewer, you can catch that game on Wings 94.3.
That is correct.
Auburn football, Auburn men's basketball, and Tiger Talk. Going to be on Wings 94.3 starting this season. We're just a couple of weeks away.
Tiger Talk is 4 weeks from this Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, we're coming up. I mean,
we're less than a month away from Tiger Talk. It was a month from yesterday.
Really?
August 24th.
Really looking forward to it. And you can catch it on Wings 94.3. And, yeah, we'll be telling you more about the Auburn Sports Network coming to the Auburn Network in the coming weeks.
We will get to our final break here of hour number one. Phone lines are open. Love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
Come in and get it out. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here of hour number one on this Tuesday afternoon. Our thanks to Barrett Salee for joining us. Hopefully you got to hear all of Barrett. If not, if you missed anything here on the drive or any, you know, of the shows we originate here, check out the podcast.
Yeah, ESPNAU.com is how you can find the podcast center. You can catch episodes of The Drive and our buddies at On the Line. Or you can go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron and find it that way. Rate, review, subscribe if you listen to the show on any of those fine platforms. And, yeah, the episodes of The Drive, podcasts of The Drive, all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Yeah, one of the things Barrett mentioned, I had not seen the story about the Northwestern players not attending Big Ten Media Days because of the continued news that is coming out of that program with hazing in multiple sports.
It would probably be a tough situation.
That's what people are going to be asking you about.
Yeah, I can sort of understand why it'd be better for maybe all parties. And I don't know how many football related questions they would get, right, as opposed to questions about things that, you know, maybe they don't feel comfortable talking about, or the university doesn't feel comfortable talking about. So, yeah, it's probably it becomes a distraction when they're not there. But I suppose had Northwestern players attended media days,
it would have been a huge distraction.
It would have been a pretty significant distraction had they gone.
334-321-1390.
Remember Fulmer?
When
he didn't show up? Yeah, and that was a less serious situation than what's going on at Northwestern now. I mean, that was a civil trial involving, I think, someone who thought he'd been defamed. I forget exactly the particulars there, but when he did it, like, it was on speaker, and they had the
crazy. His hat was sitting there. All right, let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. We've got a couple of minutes left, and Anthony is up. Hey, Anthony.
Hey guys, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like every other week more and more come out about this Northwestern thing. But I'm gonna tell you something, gentlemen. That's not hazing. I'm gonna tell you what hazing is. Then I'm gonna tell you what that is. Hazing is when you get a group of freshmen in and you give them a haircut they don't want, or when you go to the training table, you make them get to the end of the line, you take the food away from them and maybe punch them around a little bit or something like that, or take some shaving cream and put it on their face. That's hazing. What happened at Northwestern is criminal activity, sexual assault.
Felonious. It's felonious.
Yeah, you're right.
In the way it's been described.
So people need to understand the difference between the two.
Yeah, this is not just good fun.
You know, and that's, Anthony, that's something I thought would come up more at media days. You know, the question of how commonplace is the stuff being described at Northwestern? Like, how commonplace is it in college football, if at all? Like, is that something that's going on at more places than just Northwestern? Or was the Northwestern thing a very extreme example and there's nothing going on in college football anywhere else that resembles that? Because I don't know for sure. I suspect it's not really going on in a lot of places, or else we'd hear about it more often. But, you know, there's also, you know, that sounds like there's quite a bit of a stigma against speaking out in these situations too. So I don't know the answer.
Appreciate the call, Anthony. We are up against our top of the hour break.
Hold on if you weren't done. Anthony's usually pretty good if he wants to stick around.
Yeah, I do. I mean, we have to get to our top of the hour break. Right back with hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls, the regular crew here on this Tuesday. And we were talking with Anthony when we ran out of time there in hour number one. Let's get back and finish our conversation. Hey, Anthony, you still there?
I'm still there. You know, guys, like Dan said, is it common in today's athletic world? I would hope this is not something common. I would hope this is, well, hopefully this is just an isolated incident at this particular school. I mean, have players or athletes really come to this form of entertainment to get a laugh, something that is perverted and sick as this, in this day and time? I think college athletics are in a dangerous place if that's the case. Now you got to look at every athletic department is going to have to sit down and look at their policies, what they have in place against any kind of sexual harassment or sexual assault. Or
I think most of them do. I mean, and that's one of the things that you know, I believe, and when we first heard of the allegations there from Northwestern, they talked about, yes, they had some of those type meetings, and then apparently it sounded like they still went out and did some of those things.
And, you know, I think there's been a female or two that has reported some kind of misbehaving mm-hmm. in
yes,
the past that came forward in the last couple of days, and that's being investigated. So, I mean, what do you do to police? I mean, I guess if they got things in place and they ain't working, then I guess now something else, you're going to have to come up with something else. Do you bring in some outsiders that have no connection to the university that can police this kind of thing or be there to talk to a student-athlete or help them report this to police or whoever need to be reported to if this thing, something like that happens?
Well, no, and that's why I'd want to know how widespread it is first before you start talking about solutions or things like that. But you're right. I mean, the stuff at Northwestern is no – it's no laughing matter. We were talking about the fact that the Northwestern players are skipping media days. I mean, Fitzgerald had a long and storied career there as a player and coach, and it ended quickly when this stuff came to light. So, yeah, I suspect that will stay in the news for a while as folks, you know, sort of get to the bottom of you know how long this was going on, who knew about it, and whether any of that could be sort of actionable. Either, I mean, criminally, I wonder, but also, you know, I get the feeling there could be, you know, could be folks coming after him, looking for punitive damages and things like that from civil court, stuff like that, Anthony.
Well, yeah, money will probably be changing hands in that civil court. But you know, now, what does the university do at Northwestern as far as damage control to clean up this mess? I mean, you know, once the investigation whenever the investigation is completed. But in the meantime, what do they do?
I mean, getting rid of the coach is a start. I mean, I think there's still going to be folks wondering. I mean, I think the fact that initially a different punishment was agreed upon, and it seemed like it took public outcry to go to a go from a suspension to a termination. You know, you might see other folks. Northwestern answers to a different set of rules because it's a private university, and there's not quite the same oversight that there would be at a state school. But there still could be. You could see turnover in leadership at Northwestern beyond just the head coach.
Well, as far as the NCAA is concerned, do you see them doing anything as far as any kind of policy coming forward for the future or whatnot? Or is it just too early?
You know, I wonder if anything elevates to the level where the NCAA punishes the organization.
Right.
It's possible, but I think the fact that Northwestern, you know, seemingly cleaned house, on the ground by changing coaches, I think that would make the NCAA a little less likely to attempt to discipline like future Northwestern programs for this. But maybe maybe that is something that gets into the NCAA's purview where they could say, you know, this is action is merited.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. It's nice talking to y'all, and we'll be getting back to you.
Good hearing from you, Anthony.
All right, thanks.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline, and we'll head right back to it. And Terry. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill and Dan. Do y'all happen to remember what Nick Saban's first year at Alabama was? Was it 2007?
Yes.
Yeah, so the 06 Iron Bowl was Shula's final game at Alabama.
And Alabama went 7-6.
Yeah, Saban spent 2 years with the Dolphins, and then left to coach Alabama early in, it was like a couple days into 2007, he took the Alabama job.
The reason I bring that up is what Hugh Freeze tends to do right now, recruiting, is kind of similar to what he did when he came into Alabama. He just took over. And it appears like Hugh Freeze is doing the same thing, because I'm getting the impression that if they get rid of it tomorrow, it might open the floodgates to some others.
It definitely, that would be a huge get. You're right. And a lot of prospects would take note.
I mean, there was considerable drop off with some of the some of the teams that Nick Saban was recruiting against in that same cycle, and Auburn hasn't quite seen that. I mean, Georgia and Alabama are still really recruiting well, but no, it would be really nice for Hugh Freeze to get some high level prospects from high school before he's even coached a game at Auburn, and looks like that could happen in the next couple of days and weeks.
Because it was very painful for me as growing up in Talladega and growing up in Birmingham. He came into Auburn and got two players right out from under Auburn's nose.
Yeah, now
Foster and Rashad Evans.
Yeah, now of course. I mean, Ruben. That. Yeah, Ruben. Remember, moved into Auburn and had been committed to Alabama.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I mean, it was like, remember, because he was committed to Alabama, then he flipped to Auburn, then he went back to Alabama. So.
And then he come in here and get an assistant coach. Didn't James Willis make the transformation from Auburn to Alabama?
Yes.
That's what I thought. So it was a very painful time, but I was just admiring what Hugh Freeze has done. It's going to be interesting to see with Riddick tomorrow if it does open the floodgates, because I got a feeling it could. And it's been a long time since Auburn flipped guys from Georgia and Alabama to Auburn.
Oh, you're not kidding. And more and more people. I mean, we'll see. Like I said, I bet the roads to his house are pretty busy here leading up to his announcement tomorrow.
Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the call, Terry. Yeah, we're talking about DeMarcus Riddick, the linebacker from Chilton County up in Clanton, who has been committed to Georgia for a long time, but is making tomorrow, on his mother's birthday tomorrow, he's going to make what he says is his final decision. Of course, he can't sign, so, I mean, that doesn't mean that it will be, you know, impossible to change, but I would say it's very unlikely that whatever he announces tomorrow is not his final decision as far as signing in December. And it doesn't look like Georgia is going to be a choice. It's going to be an in-state school, going to be either Alabama or Auburn. As I said earlier, I mean, until recently, most people had been projecting him to Alabama. And Alabama got on him quicker than Auburn did, because Hugh Freeze was not head coach when he was not Auburn's head coach when he announced his commitment to Georgia. But Auburn has really, really worked hard. And now the feeling seems to be that it would it'd be a little bit of a surprise if it's not Auburn. That could be a huge, huge pickup. The as you were saying, Justin Ferguson saying he would be on paper, you know, by rankings, prospect rankings, Auburn's top high school signee or commitment since Owen Papo.
You know, Auburn has not signed very many consensus five-star guys over the last couple of seasons out of high school, but this is a chance to maybe nab one if he indeed commits to Auburn tomorrow and shows up for Big Cat Weekend this upcoming weekend, which could very well be a possibility. We'll see what happens, but that sounds like something that folks could be looking for. Big Cat Weekend already, some positive buzz around some of the recruits that are going to make make an appearance at Hugh Freeze's first edition of Big Cat Weekend, and hopefully what's the weather looking like this weekend?
It's hardly any chance of rain, and it's going to be hot.
Right, so they'll they will acknowledge that Auburn has some hot summers, but they could still find a way to maybe explore some of the campus or participate in some of the activities that the Coach Freeze and the other coaches have planned for Auburn this weekend. As Big Cat, one of the last big preseason events this coaching staff gets, with recruits before, a lot of the focus turns towards how are you gonna get ready this season. What are you gonna look like on the practice field, and then what are you gonna look like once the season starts?
Yeah, practice is gonna start the middle of next week. So I mean, Big Cat gets over, and then it will be a couple of days and practice getting started. I mean, speaking of Big Cat, the other drama is Perry Thompson, the Foley five-star receiver. Another big guy. I mean, he's a 6'3", at least 205, at least receiver who's been committed to Alabama for a long time. Man, there's a lot of back and forth right now. Alabama's trying to get him to Tuscaloosa this weekend. They're having a barbecue while Auburn's having Big Cat. Where is he Saturday? Auburn people think he's coming to Auburn. Alabama folks hope he's going to Tuscaloosa to sort of, go ahead and turn his back on Auburn's, advances that they've been trying to, get in with him over the last few months.
Yeah, should be interesting to find out. Yeah, what happens on what happens on Saturday and who's there. I mean, Alabama has the chance if they hold on to Thompson, to nab Ryan Williams and Perry Thompson both right from that class, which would be are they both?
Well, Ryan Williams is 25.
Yeah, you got Thompson and who's the other receiver we've been talking about? Is the one that's going to A&M at the moment, right? Is the Cam Coleman?
Yes,
is the other receiver that Auburn mm-hmm. is after,
and he's not on the list of folks expected in this weekend.
No,
that I've seen.
No, he sounds like at least at the moment firmly committed to A&M. Now a lot could change between now and. And his first class at Texas A&M. But at the moment, yeah, it does sound like Cam Coleman was someone that Auburn may at the moment it sounds like the commitment to A&M is firm, but things can change.
If Auburn gets Perry Thompson, I mean, sure they'd take another great one, but I believe they've got the receiver from Alex City, Malcolm Simmons is coming into Big Cat as well. So it's going to be really interesting, and looking forward to all the coverage from everybody that is going to be over there trying to talk to as many of the prospects on Saturday.
And then what you're thinking? You're thinking maybe a week from today or tomorrow, first day.
Yeah, I'm thinking either Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday may be report day. Wednesday may be the first day of practice, is what I'm thinking.
So, what are your pressing questions as a week from today we could be getting to see some of that practice?
Well, the first question that's going to be asked is Jarquez.
Yeah,
is Jarquez going to be practicing?
Is Jarquez going to be participating? Are we going to see Jarquez Hunter out there with the team a week from today? Or whenever Auburn is out there in fall practice, we don't know. I think that's something that threatens to it'll become a larger part of it'll become a larger story the longer it goes without him out there, and not a ton to report that isn't that hasn't been tossed out there elsewhere about where he could be, but
because there aren't that many questions about players. I mean, we will probably hear Bobby Jamison Travis gets in as was projected. I would imagine that will be out before the first day of practice.
I want to see where some of the guys that didn't go through the spring, and maybe it's not a first day issue, but within a week, I want to see where some of the guys that weren't there in the spring, where they slot in, how quickly it takes.
Yeah, I want to see that more when they're getting close to putting pads on.
That's a good point. But early on, I mean, whether it's Peyton Thorne, obviously, but also your receivers, right? Mm-hmm. Burton, Shorter, Hooks.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Some of the help at edge and linebacker. Mm-hmm. That's just gotten here. So I think that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, receiver could go in so many different directions, right? Whether it's the holdovers,
so many different combinations that you could have,
and how many. How many are in the rotation? The question becomes who's in the rotation, how big is that rotation, and what does that mean as far as rotating? Does it mean that you have starters that play 80% of the snaps and then you have reserves that you go to? Is it closer to an even split and you have a bunch of guys that are out there? Is there going to be a player or two who is undeniable, right, who has to be out there because he's clearly your best option at the position? I think we would think Javarius, right, would be your closest thing to a guy you feel really, really confident is going to get some playing time, but I don't know how much the new arrivals at receiver threaten that, where Javarius could be, even Javarius Johnson could be battling for opportunities with some of these new arrivals. Is there a new receiver that you're intrigued by of the three or four? I guess you can include freshmen in there if you wanted to, right? JC Hart's cheating, but I mean, that's because I'm guy that we're intrigued by.
Is he going to be a receiver now? Now that Auburn's added more receivers, will he still be a receiver?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If he is, I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big, impressive athlete.
Now, I'm really looking forward to seeing Shane Hooks and Jair Shorter. I mean, I really want to see those guys. We've heard so much about them. Caleb Burton, too. But, I mean, Caleb Burton seems more like a, we'll see what we've got in him. But the expectations are that Hooks and Shorter are going to have to help now.
It would be disappointing if Hooks and Shorter were healthy and couldn't contribute this year. I think with Caleb Burton, because he has eligibility, remaining multiple years of eligibility after this, it would be less disappointing if Caleb Burton took some time and the veterans held on to their jobs. But, yeah, it sounds like Shorter and Hooks are guys with 1 year of eligibility left in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, better make it good. And Hooks in particular, like he's been starring on one of the marquee offenses in the FCS for the last few seasons at Jackson State. That seems like a kind of guy that could step in and immediately make a big impact on a passing offense, especially if he's got the chance to get a feature role in that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Hooks can do.
Hey, we'll toss that out there to our listeners. Who are the players that you're looking at like that? I mean, we're getting to within a week. I mean, so we'd like your thoughts on that. Or Big Cat, anything on your mind sports-wise? We'll get to our first break here of hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Experience and 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 21 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. And, anything. We do not have Jake Crane joining us this afternoon. He's otherwise occupied. They're somewhere in France.
Yeah, we don't know the specifics of Jake's location, but Jake is somewhere in France. You can go back and listen to Friday's podcast. Maybe we run. I mean, it's pretty funny. But, we had.
We didn't have any idea. First of all, we thought he was talking Central Time.
Yes. Well, no, Jake forgot that we're a Central Time show, and so he booked 5:30, thinking it was going to be 4:30 our time. Realized, too late that it was. But then also,
he had a 5:30 flight.
Yeah, Jake had a 5:30 flight. So we're talking to him as they're just starting the safety stuff when we wrap things up. But yeah, Jake was about to fly over the Atlantic and go check out Europe. So when Jake is back stateside, we will talk to him about the upcoming college football season and everything else going on in the world of sports. But yeah, no Jake on today's show.
Well, and he obviously married a good sport. She understood that. All right, we'll put off things until that week in between media days and the start of practice.
She better be a good sport.
Yeah, no kidding.
Married to Jake.
Yeah, no kidding. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get to it. And Greg is up next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How y'all been doing lately?
Pretty good. How about you?
Man, it's hot when I'm here. I'm going to tell you that.
Oh, right. It's ridiculous now. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of getting hot, it's going to be a big week. Let's see what happens. I'm going to get things rolling, get hot. Start tomorrow. I don't know, guys. Look out. I mean, this coaching staff is—they're putting in the work. I ain't gonna sit there and say we just gonna get everything we want. You know, I'm gonna be a little pessimist about it, but I got a little different vibe. I hope I can trust my gut with it, but I'm still nervous about it.
Oh, always. Oh, you always got to be.
You can't never tell, man. There's nothing done deal until they sign with the school, and even then it ain't done deal.
Doesn't seem like effort's going to be a problem, though, with this coaching staff, with Hugh Freeze. Like, I mean, when he's – I think that's the benefit of having hands-on experience at a place like Ole Miss, is that you face national championship-caliber competition on a regular basis. You see what it takes on the field and on the recruiting trail, and I think Hugh Freeze knows – there's no special sauce. You better get the best players possible when they're in high school.
Well, he's tireless. I give him that. He's got a goal, and he ain't stopping until he gets it. And I applaud him for it. I know he's been through a lot. Made his amends for it and everything, but it's nice to have a coach that actually does what he's paid to do. And he ain't even coached the first regular season game yet, and I already feel like it's football season. I mean, I'm constantly checking my feed, seeing what's going on, and Big Cat Weekend coming up. I'm pumped. I ain't even gonna be there, but I'm happy for him. I hope we can get it going in our direction, because I tell you what, guys, I ain't gonna get on here a wolf a lot. I know I'm an Auburn fan, but everybody can say what the dang want. Auburn ain't gonna lose. Auburn's gonna win 7+ games. That team I had last year, they can say what they want about it. If it was coached better, I'll say this. If you had a Hugh Freeze coaching that team last year, I still think we go ball. We ain't gonna lose no less than 6.
Yeah, honestly, there's no way that Auburn should have been 500 or worse the last 2 years.
So many should have, would have, could have, and not closing the deal, and just it don't seem like Harsin was developing for the future whatsoever. You play the cupcake games, but you're playing your daggum starters in the fourth quarter. I mean, what the crap, dude? I mean, just the incompetency. I never thought I'd see that right there. I guess, I wasn't around for the ball field era, but I guess that was about as close as I want to get to.
But it wasn't like that back then either, because Doug Barfield, he was playing young players. Mm-hmm. Auburn was just terrible defensively is what the problem was. Auburn had a ton of talent on offense. They had Freddie Smith and not a whole lot else on defense, and they Auburn didn't adjust much, but it wasn't a lack of effort. I tell you what, Doug Barfield got out and recruited his butt off too.
Well, sometimes it just goes that way, and I know Alabama and Georgia, they got a stronghold. They've been doing it, but Auburn's gonna recruit itself. They're gonna get the guys. When Auburn's got the momentum going, and the whole everybody's buying in, and I'm being honest with guys, and I know y'all can probably attest to this, being around the university, it seems like everything's in line. I mean, the mm-hmm. coaches, the athletic director, the president, I mean, it's a whole different vibe. And, I know we're going to get our share. I'm predicting the top 10 class this year. No matter what, I mean, I know top 10, top 12, somewhere in there, you're going to have a quality class. And Auburn's going to do it on the field this year, too. I mean, they're probably going to lose a game or so, probably break your heart. But I think the way this staff recruits, if they coach like that, these kids is buying in, like that, it's hard to beat Auburn. And people can say what they want. You look on the message boards, you got people creating fake Auburn accounts. I mean, there's some salty people out there. And when you got haters and you got enough of them, you're doing something right. So I'm excited to see the trajectory that this team is going in, and hope for the best. But hey, I want to say something else before I get off. Well, I seen one of the guys Auburn picked up, one of the commits on baseball. I think three of them, best player in the state or whatnot, signed deals with MLB or whatnot. It's not going to be in Auburn in the spring. That's pretty tough look. Y'all read anything on that?
Well, I don't think there's been anybody we didn't expect that is.
I think he's talking about the three Auburn signees who got drafted.
Yeah. I mean, they were drafted really high.
Yeah.
McGonigal. Yeah. I mean, I believe they all have signed. I was looking at MLB. I think only one guy in the top 40 hasn't signed, and that's the Twins' first pick.
Yeah. It's too bad that that they Auburn identified them early, but they got enough attention and establish themselves to the point where they played their way into those kind of draft positions. Works out for those guys.
Yeah, it looks like Auburn's gone out and brought in some really big time additions transfer wise since the MLB draft.
Yeah, I think Auburn's responded really well. Is it the Florida transfer?
It was Mr. Baseball in Florida.
Folks are really excited about what he can bring.
Well, that's just way it's going these days. But I mean, you gotta take the bad with the good. I'd like to see Auburn get it rolling. It was tough this year watching them host a regional and do how it went out. But can't say they ain't trying. So, hey, guys, look, I'm going to get off, let somebody else get in, man. Hey, Warriors, man, enjoy listening to you. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate the call, Greg. 334-321-1390. Let's go ahead and get to Jerry before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, hey guys. I just wanted to drop a couple of dimes on the Braves. If they could get Hader, I think that would be a great pickup if they could get him at the right price.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's going to take something. I mean, they sent an awful lot to get him, and they're going to expect an awful lot to give him up.
Yeah, I just wonder if San Diego's going to wave the white flag and trade Hader and Blake Snell. San Diego and New York are both
Snell's
teams.
Snell's easier to live without than
they're,
Hader.
They're both teams that fashion themselves as contenders next year. So they're probably not going to do a total teardown or anything like that, but they could move some pieces that would help a contender. And, yeah, Josh Hader would be, I imagine there'd be some teams that want to have him at the back of the bullpen.
How about Kimbrel?
I don't think Philly's selling, right?
I think the Phils feel like they're going to make the postseason again.
I mean, Kimbrel's had a nice season for Philadelphia. You know, a guy that looked just totally lost in a Dodgers uniform at times last year. But I think Philly might be buying between now and the trade deadline. That's a team that might look to add either to their rotation or. What would they add a bat or do you think that's a
yeah they would they'd like to add now with if Bryce can play first they can move Schwarber to DH and yes they'd
go
like
find an outfielder
they'd like a an outfielder with some pop that's a little better defensively too.
Yeah, they need to buy. The Braves are in a pretty good situation.
Oh, they got a great situation. I mean, they really do. Like Barrett was saying, they don't have glaring weaknesses, but. I think they could try to make some tweaks to improve him. But like I said, Alex Anthopoulos has been tremendous at sort of sneaking up and pulling a big deal.
Yeah, to me, the question is more, can some teams in the National League try to close the margin with the Braves by adding between now and the trade deadline to make the pennant race and the playoffs a little bit more interesting? Are the Marlins going to go get somebody? I mean, that's a team that's in position to make some noise in the postseason if they can if they maybe made the right addition.
The Marlins have some great pitching.
They do. Great young arms, no doubt.
You know, if the Braves could – Alex is really good at sneaking under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully they'll pull it out. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be an interesting next week. Appreciate the call, Jerry.
All right.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still time for you to join in. Again, the Kia of Auburn hotline number 334-321-1390.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, been an interesting show. I mean, folks, you can tell, excited about the recruiting. I mean, and I have some people that are like, well, let's see more results because Auburn's still only ranked, number 30 or whatever they are. But Auburn has fewer commitments. You look at the average ranking of those commitments, and Auburn's right around the top 10. So, I mean, that's what they're going after, and we've been talking about DeMarcus Riddick. We will see. Again, I still haven't seen anything that shows that there is live coverage available, but we'll check on that as we head closer to it tomorrow.
I looked at a story there that Brad Crawford had this. Pardon me. Brad Crawford had this with 24/7 Sports earlier today, and it was updating the Heisman odds out there. And I believe these are the real odds from one of the odds makers. Maybe he said this himself. I forget, but it's they're not far off from the latest odds. But Caleb Williams, your favorite, returning to college football after winning the Heisman Trophy for USC last year, he's at 5-1.
Jayden, yeah, and he should be. I mean, your returning Heisman winner should be.
Jaden Daniels, LSU starting quarterback, and
that
somebody
makes sense.
Yeah, who had an outstanding season statistically, accounted for nearly 4,000 yards of offense, beat Alabama en route to the SEC West Championship. He's at 10-1. Quinn Ewers, who was such a gigantic prospect coming out of high school when he chose Ohio State, now at Texas. Quinn Ewers is, I mean, Texas is a buzzy team this year, and I think Quinn Ewers is a big reason why.
Quinn Ewers, and I mean, that I've seen some of the video of Arch Manning's practices as well.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers had times last year, including, the Alabama game.
Oh,
before
he was hurt?
Flashed some of that ability in the Alabama game and the Oklahoma game as well. You know, could be, if Texas is great, Quinn Ewers could be a big reason why. He's at 11-1. Jordan Travis, speaking of buzzy teams, I know some people that are really big on Florida State this year and what FSU could do. He was had a good season last year with Florida State, and it could have an even bigger season now that he's been the off-season starter been the starter all off-season long. But he's at 14-1. How about our buddy Bo Nix? Bo Nix listed at 16-1 on the current Heisman odds, but I mean, this is someone who had Oregon close to the college football playoff at the end of last season.
Yeah, and as we were talking yesterday, I mean, passed for nearly 4,000 yards last year, had 29 touchdowns, and was it just three picks, I believe? I mean, maybe it was seven.
I think he finished with seven.
Okay, it was 29 to seven.
Weren't like, what,
it was four to one.
Four of them might have been in the Georgia game, right?
I mean, I think at least three were.
From that point on, I mean, he was sensational. So, yeah, Bo Nix, somebody that we've I would say don't rule him out of the mix along with the best quarterbacks in college football this year.
Why wouldn't he put up even better numbers this year in his second year in that system, I would think?
Yeah. I mean this is a year where they're, aside from Daniels and, I mean, maybe Joe Milton, who, you know, a lot of it's based on potential rather than what he's accomplished on the field.
He has such a strong arm. We've seen that, and you got to see it in the bowl game.
Right, but a lot of these quarterbacks are, a lot of the best quarterbacks in college football are coming from other conferences, right? You have Caleb Williams, Michael Penix Jr. coming back for Washington, Bo Nix at Oregon. The people like the Clemson quarterback, right, Klubnik, is coming back. He was really good. Quinn Ewers, we just talked about. Drake May, the UNC quarterback. I mean, there's some really high level quarterback play out there. Sam Hartman switched teams, going from Wake Forest to Notre Dame, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. This is a year unlike the last couple, right, where it feels like we've had a superstar SEC quarterback, whether it was Alabama's series of quarterbacks or Joe Burrow or even Stetson Bennett towards the end of his career. I mean, we've had these big, big superstar SEC quarterbacks. Don't know if we necessarily have that this year.
No, not yet.
Daniels is the closest thing, I think, at the moment. Yeah, maybe somebody like Spencer Rattler or Joe Milton has a huge season, and they're in that conversation.
Leary is it?
Leary could be there. KJ Jefferson. Mm-hmm. You know, there's quarterbacks that could very well work their way into that mix, but feels like right now most of the best quarterbacks in college football, the perception is that they're not that they're playing for schools outside the SEC. We'll see how much that changes, but the one difference I'd say would be Jaden Daniels, and then Bo Nix, who started in the SEC,
right?
Not there anymore, playing up at Oregon.
Yeah, so that's the feeling going in. You have more question marks or less sure things than you've had in the SEC.
What about? I mean, because the article gets into this a little bit later on, the thought that one of the relative unknowns at Georgia, I know they're big names you follow
Carson
recruiting,
Beck.
But if Carson, Carson Beck could be somebody where, I mean, he's going to be a.
Well, if that is the best team in the country and they're really clicking, then sure.
Right. And you could probably, I mean, from an odds maker standpoint, you could probably get pretty good odds on Carson Beck to win the Heisman Trophy right now.
Yeah, but I just wonder, I mean, will they, is he going to throw for 3,000 yards, 3,500 yards?
He's got some.
I just don't know.
He's got some targets, though, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I mean,
he does.
You think about it, I mean, you bring back Brock Bowers. You bring back Ladd McConkey, right? And then you mix in, who's the Missouri receiver's good? That's Dominic Lovett. right, as a Missouri receiver, and then Ra-Ra Thomas, who wasn't a lot of talk about Ra-Ra Thomas. I know he got into a little bit of trouble between his commitment to Georgia and now. There wasn't a lot of talk about Ra-Ra Thomas at SEC Media Days last year, but there were times when Ra-Ra Thomas at Mississippi State looked like a number one SEC wide receiver. That is a...
Yeah, they're loaded.
Whoever's playing quarterback, and it looks like it's going to be Carson Beck. Yeah, whoever's playing quarterback for that team looks like they have a dream supporting cast around them to succeed.
I guess the question is Mike Bobo going to... I mean, are they going to throw it more? Are they going to need to? Do they need to? I mean, Georgia has been a balanced team. I mean, they threw it when they needed to a year ago, but, you know, Stetson Bennett... Even though, you know, there was he got a lot more credit a year ago, and he had a couple of ball games that he won. I mean, he didn't put up the kind of numbers that usually get you there to New York.
And Mike Bobo was there last year, right? He just wasn't the offensive coordinator.
Right.
He was around the program last year, and one would think that it's a good problem to have. How is your offensive coordinator going to deploy all of this talent and utilize all these different things? But yeah, I do suppose how much does Mike Bobo decide to lean on an inexperienced quarterback, and can defenses take advantage of that, especially early? South Carolina, I think that game's week two. So, I mean, that's a South Carolina team that may be...
Yeah, and you heard Barrett Salee. If you didn't, I mean, Barrett, that was the first team. When Dan asked him about everybody has a consensus top four in the SEC with Georgia and Tennessee on the eastern side, Alabama, LSU on the west, who is the next team that he's the most bullish on? And he immediately said South Carolina.
Yeah, a lot of folks like the way South Carolina. I mean, you got to like the way
the SEC media picked them third.
Well, and how do you? I mean, you look at the way they finished the season. They beat Tennessee and South Carolina. They beat Tennessee and Clemson. I think they were big underdogs in both games, and found a way to win. They were were surging towards the end of the year. Didn't win their bowl game against Notre Dame, but finished the regular season.
When you were talking about quarterbacks, if Spencer Rattler can consistently show what he showed last year when he was good, he was really, really good.
People forget Spencer Rattler's. So you might want to pull it up, Bill. But Spencer Rattler's good season at Oklahoma before. I mean, he was replaced by Caleb Williams. I know this feels like ancient history because neither of these guys are at Oklahoma anymore, and neither is their coach Lincoln Riley. But Spencer Rattler's first year at Oklahoma, I mean, he was one of the best quarterbacks in college football, and the ability. I mean, this guy was a monster recruit coming out of high school, which is how he ended up at Oklahoma as early as he did. And so I would say that's a guy who, yeah, if they can recapture some of that and figure out how it works offensively.
Yeah. As a redshirt freshman at Oklahoma, he completed 68% of his passes for 3,031 yards, averaged just under 10 yards per attempt, 28 touchdowns and 7 picks.
And if any quarterback can step in and do that at Oklahoma, then explain last season, right? Tell me what happened last season at Oklahoma. You know, how come no quarterback can step in and do it if it's that easy? So, no, Spencer Rattler is a... I mean, he is a super impressive athlete. I thought that was one of the more impactful retentions of this past season was Shane Beamer convincing Spencer Rattler to play another year of college football. And Spencer Rattler could be one of the biggest names off the board in the NFL draft next year if he makes good on that potential.
334-321-1390. Let's get to Tex before our final break this afternoon. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. I almost told him I was calling from Hell's Kitchen because my I've been driving for a little bit, and I'm at still over 100 degrees.
Well, you didn't call us. You didn't call us from Greece.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Bill.
Is that a reference to wildfires?
Never saw them. I tell you that. I was on one of the islands that the day before, and got a text message from the States that said, "Where are you?" And we told them, they said, "How's the wildfires?" Well, that's the reason I was in a boat. So anyway, my wife's probably going to be upset. She'll get a few phone calls. I didn't know y'all were going there. Anyway, I got two questions. Dan, where did you give me your how you voted in the West?
My vote, I went LSU 1, Bama 2. I think I went Arkansas 3, Auburn 4, Ole Miss 5, A&M 6, State 7.
That's I kind of agree with that.
I'm a little nervous about A&M. I think A&M could finish third or even better, but I just don't want to bet on so many pieces that I wasn't impressed with last year.
They could also go the other way too.
Yeah, so you're right.
Oh, and if it goes bad early, they could lose a lot of these games, right? Because that's sort of what I'm thinking is you go 2-3 to start the year. What kind of fight are you going to show in the next seven?
And how did you arrange the three in the East?
I went Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, 1-2-3,
okay.
And I think I got Napier. I think I got Napier 6, and that's the one where and it's not all his fault. Mullen talked
that
about
be
how
a deep six.
Mullen talked about how recruiting wasn't really his thing, but they don't, you know, that's,
no kidding.
They don't. I don't know.
And I was a huge Napier fan, so. I guess it's definitely a different league in Lafayette than it is in Gainesville.
Well, you know, if it doesn't work out there in Gainesville, I still think he's got a chance of winning big somewhere.
Oh, I agree. I think he's a great recruiter.
They're going to probably – Tex, I wonder if they're going to have to pay out, like, the next coach. If they fire Billy Napier after this season, it's going to have to be a Jimbo Fisher deal where they're going to have to pay somebody – and give him a fully guaranteed, eye-watering amount of money to take that job, because every coach in America is going to see what just happened to Billy Napier.
Right, exactly. It's amazing how many people get fired nowadays, and they never mention the things they mention when Auburn fires coaches. They fire coaches all the time.
Yep.
And LSU's had as many coaches as we've had in the last 10 years, or last 20 years, excuse me. So here's my real question I called for. Has construction started at Plainsman Park?
I have not been over that way in the last couple of weeks, so I haven't heard that it has, but I haven't had a chance to drive by there.
When is supposed to start July 1st?
I thought it was supposed to start sometime this month, but I haven't heard that it has. That's a good question, Tex. I'll try to drive by there tomorrow.
Yeah, normally I hear that kind of thing. So. Mm-hmm. It's really going to be interesting when renewals come up to see how fast the roads in the newer sections behind home plate go, or between the dugouts behind home plate go.
Yeah, I think they'll go pretty fast. Yep.
I think they'll go pretty fast. So I wonder how many people are going to get to move down to the next level that was always above the wall.
Now here's Tex. They have not. What I can update you on, they have not put in a webcam for the construction at Plainsman Park. They had webcams. If you go to auburn.edu/about/webcams had mm-hmm. different. They have the different live cams of different shots on campus, and then they had different construction webcams so you can monitor the progress. They had the performance center. They had the live cam of that while it was being built, and I believe the dorms, the residence halls, have a live cam of that. I would think that when the construction starts at Plainsman Park, they would want to document it with a camera the way they've done some other projects on campus. At the moment, no Plainsman Park webcam on the website.
Well, thanks for sharing, Dan. That's something that I'll bookmark on my computer at the office. Give me something to do during the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was fun watching the Performance Center go up.
Yeah. Yes. I guess that's about it. Look, I know tomorrow could be an exciting day, but the way people react on the boards is not normal. But so I hope I don't click on it and start seeing all the bad stuff again. And I guess some people call me a sunshine pumper sometime. Look, I just don't see any reason for us to be negative all the time. And not getting a guy that's been committed to Georgia for how long?
Since November.
Okay. Of last year.
Right.
Okay. may not all be a bad thing. And by the way, you got to wait till December to find out whether or not you really get it.
That is right. That's correct.
I'll be more happy to see signatures on paper. Or announcements that we have signatures on paper. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, y'all don't come in too good when you forget the time change. Just heads up.
It's tough, man. That's tough. Right. Hey, it's great hearing from you, Tex.
All right, guys. All right, man. Take care.
Got to get to our final break. Back to wrap it up here on the Tuesday Drive.
difficult times.